The following is a Fourth Hand production.
After the planet was ravaged by World War II, the powers that be were looking for any edge they could. The United States was no different. So, they engaged in many secret medical experiments designed to help win the Cold War. But at what cost? Let's just say you can't perfect mind control in Manchurian candidates without breaking a few eggs. And by eggs, we mean unknowing subjects, both military and civilian. Oh yeah, black magic and the occult might have been involved as well, you know, for good measure. So, strap in. We're talking MK often and CIA shenanigans via, wait for it, drugs. This week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
Hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a drug-fueled romp through history.
I'm going to stop you right there because this shit pisses me off.
Yeah, we are mad. What are we cheese muffining about?
We are cheese muff, goddammit. We are mad because the U.S. government thinks they can move in on my territory.
What are you yapping about?
Not that it is any of your business, but if anyone is going to drug unsuspecting people, it is me. It pisses me off when amateurs like the CIA try to steal my moves.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I am completely lost.
Shut up, Kyle.
Tough crowd.
Yikes. Well, as you've heard from Conspiracy About the Jealous One and Kyle, the lost one who's supposed to shut up now, they are our bots. I built CBot to help research and produce the show, and instead, well, you kind of see what happens.
And I like beans.
That you do, buddy. That you do.
Guys, can I at least come in and get a drink of water?
No, dude, what did we tell you? Get out. Back to the porch.
What the hell? I swear to God.
Some people's kids. Anyway, I'm David Flora. He's Brent Hand. We're coming to you from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago / parts unknown Colorado, to talk all things MK often this week.
Yeah, huh. All things. I'll hold my breath on that.
You know what? That's sadly true.
Does it hurt you to say he's got a point there?
A bit.
I mean, you know, it's no surprise or no, I'm not telling any tales out of school to say the government is known for their secrecy and not always, even when they get exposed, sometimes it's like, nuh-uh.
Right. Yeah, keep them guessing. Shuffle them feet, three-card money, all that good stuff.
Right. I don't know. I guess it is better, in a way to think that the government does keep things from everyone. That way, you know, our secrets aren't revealed, but then also it is completely terrifying. It's a double-edged sword. You don't want to be so inept that everyone goes, I know what your government's doing. But you also kind of want to know what your government's doing.
Yeah, well, it's kind of become a big business now.
The making of sheeple? Yes, I agree. It's a huge, just as long as they don't shear us too often, I'm okay with it. But, yeah, big business, man. You ain't lying. You know, we work in the public sector. So, you know, I'm not privy to all the goings on, but, man, I'd like to be a fly on the wall in some of these meetings that they have.
Sure. Although sometimes I bet it would get pretty gross. but it's funny you say we work in the public sector. Even people that are in the private sector or part of the government are compartmentalized from others.
Right.
So there's some people that still don't know what's going on, even though they know a lot of what's going on.
Well, I think that's such a – it's so ingrained in them that even when it's not necessary, I think they compartmentalize things just because, well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we, you know, and for better, for like I said, there's always a happy medium. I'm glad that some things are done. I'm not glad that people are experimented on and maybe turned over to black magic, as we're going to talk about this week. I don't know. Moving on a little bit because we could talk about that forever. I don't know if you know this or not, anyone at home who has never, ever, ever opened their eyes, but allegedly – at times, the government may not have had our best interests in mind.
Guess.
What?
Yeah, I know. Calm down, both of you ladies. I said allegedly.
My vapors. Oh, my.
I declare, I just don't believe such falsehoods.
Someone get me my fainting chair.
Yes.
I can't abide this type of language.
I need to add just a random chair in my house. What's that? My fainting chair.
My fainting and then, chair.
What? Nothing. Moving on.
Oh, that's the chaise for passing out.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. One such topic, that's a topic this week, and a branch of, you know, it's more of a branch of a topic we've already talked of in the past.
Yeah.
We talked MK Ultra, all right, and a lot of this is still part of MK Ultra, but we're diving down deeper into it, because this week we're talking MK Often, which all these are just weird, weird names. Tell us, though, about MK Often, Project MK Often, whatever you want to call it, depending on which Reddit page you're on, how they want to call it.
Well, besides having the most terror-striking name in history.
MK every once in a while. MK if I feel like it.
Nah, it's all right.
MK, I don't feel like it right now. We'll see.
It was a not-so-covert U.S. Department of Defense program developed in conjunction with the CIA post-World War II.
Boom, boom, boom.
Everybody say AO. We're already banging on all cylinders. And like we said, she was an offshoot or descendant program of MK Ultra. The goal of this offshoot was specific. Quote, test the behavioral and toxicological effects of certain drugs on animals and humans, end quote.
Specifically, by way of gelatinous blobs that rain down from the sky on unsuspecting townfolk.
Yeah, not quite that. I like where your head's at.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's almost like he's went back and actually paid attention to our show.
Yeah, no.
Some of this stuff seeps in.
Yeah.
Just like blobs.
Just like gelatinous blobs. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
It's so squishy. In a
Washington suburb or whatever it was.
I like doing that with it in my teeth.
Sorry. Testing of these drugs was done not through blobs.
Allegedly.
But in several ways on animals. Boo.
Yeah.
Prisoners at Holmesburg Prison in Philadelphia. Military personnel at Edgewood Arsenal and possibly many other places.
Mm-hmm. But why, sir? Why? Tell me. Tell me why.
Well, it's simple, Brent. Mind control.
It's so simple.
I hope you put the appropriate filter effect on that. My voice.
Nah. So, yeah, no, like specifically though, we're talking Manchurian candidate type shit where people can be conditioned through the use of drugs to carry out all sorts of nefarious deeds. I don't know. They don't all have to be dastardly, but really, I'm sure they are because, you know, the government. From assassinations to spying and everything in between.
You know what we call that? Mind-taking, baby!
Damn right, Mintok. But instead of using your mind like Mintok, it was drugs.
Whoa.
And maybe black magic, but that's a little... Maybe. Yeah, this is H51, so we're not going to stop there. You see, I keep saying that whole black magic part. In 2007, Gordon Thomas released a book, Secrets and Lies, the CIA's Operation Often. And Thomas Pinky swears that Often was also initiated by the chief of the CIA's technical service branches, one Sidney Gottlieb, who we know was part of this, to explore the world of quote unquote black magic and quote harness the forces of darkness and challenge the concept that the inner reaches of the mind are beyond reach.
Yahtzee.
He was thinking that they're not beyond reach. Speaking of banging on all cylinders, it is truly banging on all cylinders. Now, is this true?
Yes.
And scene.
Yeah, next week on Hysteria 51.
And that's your new opinion. Opinion. There's no other sources. It literally, but it's the government, so probably. Doesn't it just feel like that would be something they do? And plus, we know
that,
you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more. And I know what you're probably thinking at home. Not so fast. Ricardo Montalban was using hypnotic suggestions, not drugs, back in the old Naked Gun movies. Well, that...
Pussy.
No, you're right. He was using hypnotic suggestion, not drugs. So it's not the same thing. So the I must kill the queen.
Good. It's a good thing that brave American patriot umpire stopped that whole
plan. Hey, that's Enrico Palenzo.
Oh, yeah, opera.
I can't remember the name of people I just met when my wife introduces me, but Enrico Palenzo was banging around in there for no use for the last 37 years or however as long since, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, I loved that scene where he's all just like, strike! And he's dancing around.
Three,
and all
of a sudden,
And everybody's like, what?
He was out. He never tagged him with the ball. He wasn't out or whatever. Yeah. Anyway. Classic. Going back, it does. I want you to remember that this all stems from MK Ultra. A little backstory, just bringing this all together. So in 1964, MK Search was the name given to the continuation of the MK Ultra program because they're just like, Johnson, give me a word, search.
Yeah, no, great. Yeah. Johnson was a chalkboard that they would throw gum at.
Right.
Whatever it stuck to is listed with a bunch of random ass words. Whatever the gum stuck to, that's what they'd put behind MK.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, in 64, MK Ultra ended because probably they needed to diversify in order to get more government backing or money. So then MK Search was divided into two projects dubbed MK Often and my favorite name ever. You want to take this one?
MK Chickwit.
Clear as mud, right? MK Chickwit. Yeah, like we're, you know, somewhere it makes sense. It's just not in my...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even make sense in fucking Alice in Wonderland.
Son of a bitch, like, Brent, you take that back right now.
MK Chickwit. That's like a name that they tried to call subordinates in the military.
Listen, you chickwit.
But they were super Christian and didn't want to curse, so they just made up, you know, a curse word.
Right?
You're such a chickwit, Johnson.
Oh, man, Johnson. I swear. He's up to all the no good. So these are the official programs. And then funding from MK Search started in 1965 and ended, allegedly, in 1971, where I'm sure it didn't devolve or turn into three more MK Toenail, MK Shart. And
MK Tiger Stripe.
Yeah. Like we did say, the Search was a project of joint between the U.S. Army Chemical Corps and the CIA's Office of Research and Development to find new offensive use agents with a focus on incapacitating agents.
Fuck yeah.
Not that fun kind of incapacitation, if there is such a thing, or whatever the hell you're imagining there, CBET. But like we said, its purpose was to develop, test, and evaluate capabilities like covert use of biological, chemical, and radioactive material systems and techniques of producing predictable human behavior and or physiological changes in support of highly sensitive operational requirements is how they put it. Like I said, clear as mud.
Fuck yeah.
He's into things that I'm not into, thank God. Anyway, by March of 71, over 20 – I love how this is put when you read the case study. Over 26,000 potential agents had been acquired for future screening. Mm-hmm. Potential agents being people from the street. Sometimes yeah, military who are – I have links to – in the show notes as always to our research. And there is a really interesting there's a video where the CIA was working with these British military people that were like signed up like coming in for a test of, you know, drug screening. Oh, yeah. And then they dosed the shit out of them with like horrible drugs just to see what would happen. And they're like, good job. Here's your $40, you know. Please do not die.
And a lifetime of haunting memories.
Right, yeah. And for the birds aren't real camp, if you're playing along at home, the CIA was also interested in bird migration patterns for chemical and biological warfare or CBW when you're reading. If they ever say CBW in military stock, it's chemical and biological warfare. So that's a fun acronym to throw up your sleeve.
That's a good thing to not confuse with stuff that might help, you know, like nerves or sleep patterns, you know.
Did you get my CBD relaxing oil? Yeah, that's what that was.
That's right. Yeah, it really feels like it burns going down.
I can't feel my legs anymore. That's, yeah.
That just means it's working.
So, anyway, the Subproject 139 designated bird disease studies at Penn State, that's going to be have to be for another whole episode where they were trying to see, well, birds fly all over the place. What if we infected them with stuff and then they could give that to other people? That couldn't turn around and bang, you know, blow up in their faces anyway. We're talking MK Often, which, you know, was, as we said, designed to deal with testing of all this crazy shit, you know, on animals and humans.
And maybe the occult.
Chickwit! Just real quick to touch on that. Was concerned with acquiring information on new drug developments in Europe and Asia and with acquiring samples. Hey, can I get some of that? Spycraft stuff. That was more like your nuts and bolts spycraft. So that's on the docket this week. It is break time. When we come back, we take a trip through the murky waters that are the CIA, drugs, mind control, the occult, and CBOT, and on and on and on. That's right after this break on Hysteria 51. Oh my God, I'm slipping. There we go. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying to plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Brent, please don't ring that bell. It makes me want to do things.
Oh my God.
It's triggering something in me.
I must kill the queen. Makes me want to call myself Frank Drebin and go slip out into the umpire's uniform. Anywho, not to be confused with Rico Polenzo. Serious question for you. Why would a government want mind control in your summation? What do you think the perks are?
Oh my gosh.
Unlimited. Thank you very much.
Yeah. How much time you got?
I mean, people, when I'm reading online, people are like, I can't believe the government would do this. I can't believe you would ever think that random person who I laughed at on Reddit and 4chan and everywhere. Ah, man, it's just, it just seems like that would be like in the bylaws, you know. Oh, and also, yeah, we want to mind control.
That's heaven for the powers that be, the New World Order, the oligarchy.
And everyone knows New World Order is for life. Sorry, that's your wrestling drop for the week there. Oh, speaking of wrestling, if you're playing along at home too, Vince McMahon finally retired. Drug scandals, suicides, horrible things. Never could take him out, but pussy took him out. He just fucked a few too many women and got caught, and now he's no longer with the WWE. So,
yeah,
hats off to you there, Mr. McMahon.
I don't know if you've ever heard. There's a lot of stories about that dude. Just
terrible. He's just a wild, disgusting individual. Yeah. Speaking of Vince McMahon, let's talk drugs. Oh, okay. So tell us what was going on. Tell us about way back in the 53. This is kind of what I was talking about. With British people.
Stardate, May 1953. Scientists are researching a super lethal nerve agent, sarin, who is also leader of the Vulcan High Command.
Is it sarin or sarin? I think I've heard it both ways, and I don't care because it's bad shit.
It's Sarek and sarin. Yeah. Sarin is no joke, man. So they work with English researchers as well on this, and would post up flyers for military personnel. You mentioned this, personal stuff like wanted people to test cure for the common cold.
Turns out the cure for the common cold is death. Because spoiler,
one way to do it.
That's not exactly what they were testing. Yeah.
Quick and easy. But no, that is not what the tests were about. Voluntary personnel would come in and be subjected to testing of sarin and other types of chemicals.
Yeah.
And they've got interviews of these people, right?
Yeah, like that are just – it's hard to watch them talking about how these things went down, you know. But yeah. So how did they do it? What did they do?
They came in. They were told to roll up their left sleeve. Some kind of material was taped to their forearm. And then they'd give them gas masks or some kind of respirator.
This is for common cold, you said? Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And they were told, you have to wear this. Do not take this off.
Yeah.
Just don't, man. And then two rows of 10 drops of sarin were placed on their arms. And sarin, being a nerve agent, had some pretty immediate effects on them. severe claustrophobia and terror set in for them. They sweated profusely. It gave them the sensation of just not being able to breathe, being constrained. And, you know, for 30 minutes.
And not the good kind. Not the kind you pay an extra 50 when she's done or he's done.
Right.
We don't judge.
There's a reason that you pay for that and you don't volunteer. And then they were released.
Interestingly enough, though, they do talk about how, you know, there was just sheer agony haunts them to this day, but they've never had a cold.
Success. Task failed successfully.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they still, you know, the people they interviewed have nightmares about it to this day.
Declassified paperwork. This is a absolutely true thing that many people have come forward with, but paperwork shows that this whole experiment was done in partisan with the CIA. It was done literally to determine what a lethal dose of sarin is.
Why?
Why? Right. Like, why on our own? Well, it was their military personnel. I mean, is it to see? Well, I guess it's kind of twofold. They're seeing what they can coax out of people by doing this sarin, and also seeing where, you know, how many drops. You know, each one's measured, I'm sure. And even though it was 20 drops for everyone, I bet there was different doses per drop. You know what I mean? They were seeing to know where the lethal. So how many people died? Well, we don't know. But they were looking for subservience. When these people are in these horrible agony and sheer terror, they're much more subject to word of mouth. You know, to being told.
Suggestion.
Yeah, suggestion. We can help you through this. Then control can be imposed by different drugs or conditioning. The goal was to have people perform acts against their will and then have no memory of it. Now, if it's because of sheer agony or it's because they were dosed to a point where they don't remember anything. But when you get into this whole against their will, have no memory – have no memory of it. We're talking Manchurian Candidate. Now, if you're not familiar with that term comes from The Manchurian Candidate. It's a novel by Richard Condon. It came out in 1959. It's a political thriller about a son of a prominent U.S. Political family who's brainwashed into being a assassin for a communist conspiracy. And it is something that the U.S. government went, oh, God, I fucking want that. Oh, you little bitch. You know, there's just like all these fucking generals, you know, are just like, oh, God, I got a fucking raging heart on as they're reading this. You know?
You know what's ultimate irony about that is sometimes I wonder if we did get some of that and they didn't even know about it. We did get some Manchurian candidates during the Cold War.
Man, I would
with the state of how the country is going.
I would just be hard pressed to not believe that something like that hasn't happened in the past. You know, whether here, there, everywhere, who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine being brainwashed into acting against your own will, but it's been done over and over throughout history. One of the crazy examples, if you've watched Game of Thrones, Theon Greyjoy, he was brainwashed, you know, and people. Look at what do they call that when you get kidnapped and you fall in love or with your captors or
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, your mind will alter your reality to suit itself sometimes.
It this will probably come up here in a little bit towards the end, but it's a different form of what I would call mind control. And this one is, especially with Stockholm syndrome, it's dependency that drives it more than anything. And that can cause people to do some, or act antithetical to how they would normally act.
Yeah. It literally goes to show the mind can be its own worst enemy. And what we think or feel is not always the case, but people want to die on that hill all the time. I, the other day, was driving, and I was like, I thought I saw literally like two dogs standing up, and then I look over, and it's just two people. But like your mind, you're like, I was like, what the hell? You know what I mean? And your mind just fills in the blanks, you know? Now, what if I was, hadn't went back around the block? I didn't go around the block. I turned my head, but you know what I mean? And then I just went the rest of my life going, I saw two fucking dogs just walking down the street wearing fucking blazers.
how much of this paranormal world that we, you know,
that's exactly where I'm going.
Is exactly that. Yeah.
You know, but what you saw, I know what I saw. You know what I mean? Exactly. That term is.
I just can't take that seriously when someone says, I know what I saw, because I'm like, you may not.
Right.
you know what your mind has constructed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you,
hey, I know what around, I think I saw. I'll exactly. tell you that right now.
if you turn your head like you did, or go around the block and try another pass, you could see something completely different.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the mind's a hell of a drug.
Right. Yeah. The mind and cocaine, it turns out.
Mm-hmm. Hand in hand.
Thank you, Charlie Murphy. Anyway, we're going to go to break again real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk some statistics, because everyone loves statistics. And we're going to talk about that whole occult and black magic and all that. It's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51.
Got a black magic woman trying to make a devil out of me.
Drugs are bad. Drug use, though. Are you ready for a staggering statistic? I found this looking online, reading about drugs and their history.
I always love staggering.
Especially when I'm on drugs. America has spent over $1 trillion fighting the war on drugs. 50 years later, drug use in the U.S. is still climbing. It's gone.
Hey, congrats, drugs, hey. For winning the war on drugs.
Who won the war? Drugs. People are prescribed opiates at a shocking level just so companies can line their pockets, and then we have an opium epidemic. It's funny to me that we fight this aspect, yet our own government has used addiction and drug effects the way they have. Blah, we're blah, talking blah, about
blah,
this.
Drugs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we can go down that whole fucking road. Exactly. Let's talk black magic.
And just real quick, the opioid stuff is completely different to me than the war on drugs.
Yeah, that's the war. It should be the war on
shit.
Yep. Which was controlled by like one family who got immunity over the whole thing. So that's fine.
Because they were rich.
They had money.
But the war on drugs is against heroin, marijuana, cocaine, all that stuff, which the government also had a hand in perpetrating.
Yeah.
So it's bullshit.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey,
you know,
let's talk black magic.
Yeah. Tell us about that book. We mentioned it again. Remind everyone about that book and what they were supposedly looking into.
Oh, sorry. I did research on the Santana album.
Black magic. Black magic woman.
Such a good song. But now in the book, Secrets and Lies, A History of CIA Mind Control and Germ Warfare, author Gordon Thomas says that in NK often, Dr. Gottlieb and other CIA employees visited with and or recruited fortune tellers, palm readers, clairvoyants, astrologers, mediums, psychic specialists in demonology, witches and wizards, Satanists, and other occult practitioners, and more.
Is it really, for you, realistically, is it a big jump to think they would look into those things if they're wanting to be able to control people? Or is it a bigger leap to think that they would even put any stock into them being true? Maybe that's the true question, is what did they know that we don't know? Because that's over and over we find that they were looking into, you know, astral projection and remote viewing. And, well, this is saying now again, you know, but fortune tellers, palm readers, clairvoyants, all these things. We find out that they were putting all that time and money into researching the woo-woo that was happening out at Skinwalker Ranch. Brain farting on that. Does it really make you wonder, like, what don't I know? that they know.
No, not with this. It's more to me like, all right, let's give this its 15 minutes just to see.
Just in case kind of thing.
Just in case. And then we'll move on. You know, I think, I mean, if it were me, it'd be like, I might have some preconceived notions that are based on, you know, some evidence I've already kind of come across, but let's give it its due process and put it through, you know, some scientific method and see if there is anything to it, just in case there's something we can develop to get a leg up on the commies. So it's not that big of a leap to me.
Yeah. Now, I want to reiterate that these claims come from this book and pretty much nowhere else. And when you read online, they don't go into it very much, even in the book or anywhere. They don't, you know, and everyone goes, these claims come from this book and pretty much nowhere else. Like, you know, other than if they are referring to this book. The book blurb, we do have that. So if you're interested in reading this book, why don't you hit them with the blurb and they can decide if this is something to be interested in reading or not.
Can I get some music, like trailer music or something under this?
Dun, dun, dun. All right.
Germ warfare, secret mind control programs. New tell-all to be featured prominently in a National Geographic television special recounts the CIA's dirtiest deeds done dirt cheap from insiders who have been there. In the late summer of 2001, prolific and best-selling British author Gordon Thomas received 5 CD-ROM discs containing some 22,000 documents relating to secret CIA programs. None has been published until now. In the shocking new release, Secrets and Lies, A History of CIA Mind Control and Germ Warfare, author Thomas unleashes horrific accounts of the CIA's sick relationship with physicians and scientists whose aim it was to obtain control over the human mind and perfect the ultimate killing machine, germ microbes. Relying on sources that touch the very top echelon of the CIA, Thomas's methodical reporting concentrates on a triangle of men: Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, William, Bill Buckley, and Frank Olson. Gottlieb, the former chief of the CIA's technical services branch, organized an unprecedented system of medical torture using a team of like-minded staff doctors. Frank Olson was a former CIA scientist whose death sparked his son to find out who killed his father and why.
Read the book.
Read the book.
I feel like you're going to say that at any moment. Sorry.
And then there's Buckley, a long-serving CIA officer, American patriot, nice guy, great neighbor, and an unparalleled source because of his position as a point man for the MKUltra program and special assistant to Bill Casey, director of the CIA under President Ronald Reagan. Secrets and Lies lays out the facts about the CIA's massive stockpiling of biological weapons and tells the entire story of the CIA's mind control experiments, as seen largely through the eyes of Buckley, ending with his death at the hands of Hezbollah.
Holy crap.
This is a blurb? Can they revisit their fucking definition of blurb?
If any of the secret CD-ROMs that he revealed to have gotten is true or real or false, that's up for you to decide.
Read
the ROM. How much is true? How much is a conspiracy theory? I don't know.
Yeah.
The problem is this stuff is so realistically sounding because we know what people do. So one takeaway is the government did use drugs on people. Were they going to use germs and microbes and stuff like that? Absolutely. Now, we were kind of focusing this week, like I said, on MK Often, which was the drug side of things. And that the book really delves into MK Ultra, which is the all-encompassing. This is just an offshoot. Did they study the occult? and all sort of weird shit. Well, I'm sure they still are, if there's any value to it, and we know they have in the past. But like you said, is it a 15 minutes and they're done with it? Yeah, unless they found something. Either way. Is it a big leap to think they would have done these things for you, not knowing if things are true or not?
Well, no, but let's see. I'm trying to think of the timeline of this stuff, because they did the astral projection, things like that, the men who stare at goats stuff. So it... I mean, it could have been lumped in with that, but they focused on different parts. So this was like 65
to 71. And then I think some of that kind of was still going on after that into the 80s. That was on for like 25 years. They were doing the, you know, that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not a stretch to me, I don't think. I just don't.
Well, what? Like, so let me go this way. Well, what are your thoughts on it? Like, what do you think? Feel free to, in your summation, you look at shit like this.
The men who stare at goats stuff, maybe there was something to it, and that's why we know about it today, why it's more popular, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the other stuff, there wasn't anything, so nothing really came of it.
Right.
In terms of just mind control in general, I think that, drugs would be the easiest way to do it. It's just that I'm not sure if they found the right combination to achieve their goals before they got it shut down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even the, was it Project Rainbow or Rainbow Warriors or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff was shut down after, you know, either a new administration got in there or someone actually looked at the books and was like, we're spending money on what?
Yeah. A lot of good and bad things get shut down just because of an election.
Sure.
Period. You know, so that's the way that works.
Instead of drugs, one possible alternative that's available these days could be implants.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's messier than drugs, of course. We don't have any specific evidence of it happening right now, but it's not a stretch to think they've developed some kind of biotech to implant in the brain to guide thoughts and actions by maybe controlling specific chemical or electrical stimuli.
Right. Well, that are just going into their dreams and altering their dreams, you know, that's a whole thing. I watched a documentary on that not too long ago, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty freaky documentary, kind of long. Lots of horns. You know, we haven't seen anything like this that we know of, really. But there have been two Emory University neuroscientists by the name of Dr. Roy Baquet and Dr. Philip Kennedy who have developed an electronic brain implant that can be activated by thoughts and in turn can move a computer.
It's the cursor. Fucking devil! That's the mark of the beast! We're all gonna die! Sorry, that's where people's minds go when you hear those things.
So, yeah. They're getting more frequent. And you know, I think that they're going so far as to work on them controlling things like drones.
Wow.
Which is incredibly scary. And I'll get to more of this later. But there's also the thought that maybe people that hear voices, you know, some people claim to have heard voices in their head, which compelled them to do things it was telling them. And while there's a psychological aspect to that with some diseases, you know, schizophrenia or some kind of schizoaffective disorder comes to mind, this would be more along the lines of implanting something that would translate radio or microwaves received over the airwaves and cause the person with the implant to hear voices.
Yeah.
Now, it's getting sci-fi, right? But it would be up to the person to act on those voices, which isn't a guarantee, but
God knows I don't.
Yikes.
Thank God.
If you do it long enough, someone's mental state starts to erode and it makes them more susceptible to manipulation. This is kind of the same thing as that sarin stuff. You know,
if you torture
somebody enough, they're going to do things. So,
well, real quick, this makes me think of when they get these false confessions and people go, well, how the hell would they get a false? When you break someone down mentally for hours and hours, it has been shown they will say whatever they need to get out of that situation at that moment, even saying I murdered someone.
And you can get it in even less time with physical torture.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Thank
exactly.
you, Inquisition.
I wasn't expecting that.
What's it?
I wasn't expecting that.
The problem is, we have no evidence of a device capable of doing this.
Mm.
You know, I'm thinking that you have to get the device implanted without the person's knowledge, which is a pretty tall ask anyway. And besides the fact of figuring out where hearing, language, and processing all that is located in the brain, being able to tap it without taking one's whole cranium off, you know, had leaving scars and obvious work, and then you work someone into a nightmare with constant messaging while keeping them sane enough to perform a task and not lose their mind and be ineffectual.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I'm sorry, I've kind of been sneaking a peek at some of CBOT's config files, but it must be fresh on my mind. I would just argue, however, that this method isn't what I would call mind control. It's rather it's harassment and thought disruption, which still leaves a person in control, just frustrated enough to eventually do something to make it stop.
But that's still it's a means to the same end. Getting them to act in the way that you want, you know what I mean?
I guess so. It's not there's no guarantee that they will act the way you want, but it's akin to torture. This goes back to what we were talking about with Stockholm syndrome. And my other thought on it is it's manipulation. And I just, when I hear mind control like this, I'm thinking, you tell, it's almost like making a human robot where you can turn it, wind it up, and make it go that way and do a task.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly, this kind of manipulation can make a person act differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is stuff like indoctrination, abuse, things you'd find with a cult, brainwashing that happens over years,
not
something
the same
that can be switched on and off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the point, though, there is, how do you switch it on and off? That's what they were trying to figure out. The problem wasn't getting people to do it. It's how do you do it in a more efficient manner?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you make a human robot that'll you can program and turn on and off to do your tasks? Mm-hmm. And I got one more point here, as described by Dr. Robert Todd Carroll. He says, quote, "It is widely believed that the Chinese were successful in brainwashing American prisoners of war during the Korean War. The evidence that their tactics of torture, isolation, sensory deprivation, etc., were successfully used to control the minds of their captives is non-existent. Very few," and he gives the figure 22 of 4,500, or 0.5% of those captured by the Chinese went over to the other side. And the myth of success by the Chinese is primarily due to the work of a guy by the name of Edward Hunter, whose book, Brainwashing in Red China, The Calculated Destruction of Men's Minds, is still referred to by those who see mind control tactics as a major menace today. The CIA provided most of Hunter's fodder in their effort to inspire hatred of the North Koreans and communism to explain why some American soldiers didn't hate the enemy and to aggrandize their own role by arguing that they themselves must investigate brainwashing techniques in order to keep up with the enemy.
I just love that they're like, oh, man, it took these Chinese forever. Well, this sarin gas is taking forever. These blah, blah, blah. Can we use Satan to speed this on in any way, shape, or form? Is there any magical spells that you guys could tell us about? No, is that not working? Crap.
Yeah.
All right, back to the drawing board.
Exactly, yeah.
I think the big takeaway I'm taking from this episode is, where the hell are my classified CD-ROMs?
I didn't get any, unless that was what was on all those America Online stuff that
crap,
came in.
Were they dropping them and I just wasn't smart enough to check them out?
Hiding it in plain sight.
Right. I want to end this episode with a quote. It's a quote from B.F. Skinner, someone who was involved with these projects.
Psychologist.
Yeah, just it's interesting. He says, "My image in some places is a monster of some kind who wants to pull a string and manipulate people. Nothing could be further from the truth. People are manipulated. I just want them to be manipulated more effectively." If that isn't a telling quote about what they were doing, this is happening. We just want to perfect it.
And I think they are getting there. The divisiveness in the country, I think you could point to as an example of them finding the right methods to manipulate the population.
They've definitely struck a tone. Yeah. And it could all be some sort of MK pumpkin seed. anyway, that's neither here nor there. That is just – it's – I know this was kind of a meandering episode because this whole thing is hard because even in MK Often, then there's offshoots, and this was MK Search and MK Ultra and MK Often and Chiquit. MK Chiquit and all these other, you know, just insert your whatever. They're a fascinating look into what our governments really did in the past. And if you guys can think of any other crazy things like this that you think would be fun to look over, let us know. You can do that by hopping on Facebook and going to Hysteria Nation. That's our Facebook discussion group on there. You can go to facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's our regular page. You can tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod or go to the show notes. We even have a Discord. You can hop on there and tell us all the things that we didn't talk about or did talk about that you liked in this or other ideas. Leave us a voicemail telling us 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. Or just go to Hysteria51.com and there is a microphone on there. You can click it. Leave us a voicemail and find links to all these things, including our Patreon with lots of extra episodes, and we got a couple. Lisa and I are going to get ready to do a couple Cafeteria 51s, so that'll be fun. And yeah, sir, what you got going on in your neck of the blurry woods? Anything?
I just released a 2-part episode on angels. Pretty interesting, the origins.
There are angels among us. Sit down to us from somewhere up above. Sorry, I'm channeling my inner Alabama.
Did you know that there's a hierarchy of angels?
I did, like, and behold, different kinds. The Metatron and the Seraphim, and they, when you look and see what they actually look like, they do not look like pretty little people with wings. They look like eyeball monsters with multiple sets of wings.
Yeah, so I talk about that with Jason from Dragons and Genesis podcast. A lot of fun. I also have a new audiobook that dropped, book by Tom Lyons called Bigfoot, Frightening Encounters, Collector's Edition.
He wouldn't go with Sasquatch, Frightening Encounters, like I begged him to, that dick.
Yeah.
Sasquatch.
Yeah. He put the kibosh on that.
I'm sorry about that. Bigfoot Frightening Encounters, what'd you say?
Bigfoot Frightening Encounters, Collector's Edition 1-4 is on Audible now. So nice. If you guys got an Audible account, go check that out. The one that I narrate, again, it's volumes 1-4, Collector's Edition. So yeah, look for that. And if you want a free membership, go to blurryphotos.org. There is a trial Audible membership where you get a free audiobook. And if you don't want to keep up with the Audible membership, you got 30 days to cancel it, but you get to keep that book. So check it out. There's a link on blurryphotos.org. So that's what I got going on these days.
Awesome to hear. And I can't wait to listen to your Bigfoot calls, sexy calls on there. I hope there's several of those.
It's a lot of Southern dialects.
That's not only a tree that's getting knocked up on this episode. Hey, anyway, that's been our thoughts on drugs and black magic and knocked up Sasquatch. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.